Dear congregation, one day each and every one of us will enter a day that for us will have a beginning, but will not have an end. And what I mean by that is each of us has a day appointed to leave this life, whether it is by death, in an accident, or as the result of a sickness, or when Christ returns. It'll be a day that has a beginning and no ending. And since we do not know, any of us, when that day will come, it behooves us to live each day as if it were our last. And this is indeed something that the Lord's Supper also speaks of. So we could have it this morning in the midst of the congregation. To be met around a table, or to witness what is happening at a table in the midst of the congregation, speaks of a time and of a day in which there will be the wedding supper of the Lamb, in which many, all of them sinners of Adam's race, and yet redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they will sit with the bride of all times and places at the table of the Lord, with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. But there will also be countless numbers of people who will be far away. We don't know exactly what that will be like, whether they will be able to look on or not. We read of the rich fool that he saw Lazarus in Abram's bosom. But dear friends, to be outside, that will be a place of gnashing of teeth. To have sat in a place where the Lord's call was issued and the Lord's meal was served, and to have had the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed in your very ears and sealed before your very eyes, and yet to go into eternity unawares, not having heeded so great a salvation. As the scriptures say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, dear friends, if the table says anything to us this evening, and it says many things, but let it say this to us tonight, whoever we are, whether by the grace of the Lord we were sitting there or whether we looked on, let the words echo in our hearts as they can be found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. These solemn words. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Our theme with the Lord's help this evening is living each day as your last. Living each day as your last. We'll see how this is a blessed life. And secondly, after the song, how this is a necessary life. Living each day as your last. A blessed life and a needed life. Well, congregation, there are throughout our world many cities. And children, maybe you have been to a great city. Maybe Chicago or Boston, or maybe even overseas to London or Los Angeles, Rome. And there are very beautiful cities in our world, dazzling cities. indeed, at least to the outward eye. And so it always was, also in ancient times. Rome, which still exists today, was a great city in Bible times. Babylon, this great city, Nebuchadnezzar says, which my hands have built. People have had an urge to build cities from the very beginning. Did you know that Cain was the first one to build a city? Perhaps because he felt insecure. He had killed his brother Abel. Maybe he felt he needed walls around him to protect him and other people who were loyal to him. You see, by nature, we are always building, 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 trying to build something that might keep us safe and secure here below. But dear friends, death is written over every city here on earth. We have here no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. And the author to the Hebrews is writing to people who were strangers. They were in many cases people who were forced to flee the comfortable confines that they had lived in, probably as Jews for the most part, in the Jewish religion. And for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was preached to them, they had given up much. They had faced the spoiling of their goods, as you can read in chapter 10. They had been persecuted, and they had endured a first wave of persecution. That persecution had let up just a little bit, but now it was threatening again as a storm on the horizon. And some of them were thinking to themselves, I don't know if I can go through another persecution again. To see friends and family slaughtered, to be imprisoned, to be tortured. Is this really how I must spend my life? And probably these people had had some exposure to the city of Jerusalem. As Jews, the city of Jerusalem would have been their pride and joy. A beautiful city, beautiful for situation, the Bible says. The joy of all the earth. As one of the Psalms says, and people would sing this a lot, If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not count thee as my chief joy. They would go to the city of Jerusalem for the feasts, three feasts a year. At least one of them they had to attend. And as they are suffering persecution, maybe in their mind they're thinking, you know, this Christian religion with such hardship, what if I go back to Judaism, to the Jewish religion? Not only in those times could you escape a persecution, if you were in the Jewish religion, in most instances at least. But you also had a beautiful city. You could go to Jerusalem. There were priests there. There was this wonderful temple. You had the offerings, children. You had the altars. You had such beautiful things you could look at. And you could say, you know, there in Jerusalem is a priest, and he stands before God. And he makes sacrifice before God. But even that city, the apostle says, will not continue. We have here no continuing city, not even Jerusalem. No, since the coming of Christ. Jerusalem, as the Lord Jesus even said, not one stone would be left upon the other. And what did Jerusalem do to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and those that are sent to you, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. They will come and lay you low. Jerusalem would be destroyed probably a few years after this epistle was written. We have here no continuing city. Well, perhaps you wonder, well, what does this all have to do with us? I'm not looking for Jerusalem. I'm not really that enamored with cities. Maybe you love country life. Maybe you are fine with that. Well, dear friends, man is building cities all the time. If not a literal city, he builds a structure into which he places himself here on the earth. A house, a dwelling, something to call your own, something in which to feel safe and secure. And people build religious structures around themselves, again, to feel comfortable and at home and secure. Oh, we have our Jerusalems. We have our rituals. We have our religious works, the things that we put around ourselves to ease our conscience, to make ourselves feel at least somewhat safe. There is something in the mind and heart of man that is building, 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 but all here, all now. And dear friends, we have here no continuing city. There's no permanent structure that will last here, no matter how grand, how glorious, how religious. And Abram and Sarah, they understood that. Chapter 11 that was read to you. They were people that had been in a city, the city of Ur of the Chaldees. But God, the God of glory, appeared to Abram and said, Abram, get out of this city and go to the place that I will show you. He didn't even know where he was going. The Lord just said, leave and go. Like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, leaving the city of destruction. And yes, having some idea of where to go, and yet where all this would go and how it would go. Christian didn't know. Abram didn't know. And Abraham walked by faith. And Abraham had no city to call his own, no building even to call his own. He lived in tents. He went from place to place. He'd build altars. But he would move from place to place, wherever the Lord would have him to go. And he died in faith, not having received the promise, not having a city here on the earth, but he looked for a city that had foundations. When people would come up to Abram and say, Abram, where are you from? He'd say, well, I'm from Ur of the Chaldees. And where do you live? Well, I go from place to place. Where are you going, Abram? I'm going to a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, where is that, Abram? And Abram would say, the Lord will take me there. The Lord will take me there. I walk each and every day by faith, not knowing where I'll end up, but I look for the city that has foundations. And dear friends, what Abram looked for, that's what you and I and all of us are called to look for. The city that the Scriptures describes. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the eve of his betrayal, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Here below, you won't have any abiding city. But I'll prepare one for you, my disciple. And the end of the Scriptures, Revelation 21, speaks of that holy city, the new Jerusalem, the city of lights, in which there will be no sun, because the Lord Jesus Christ will be the glory of that city. Well, what a city that will be. New Jerusalem, coming down from God from heaven, a place where there is no night, a place where there is no death, a place where there's no hunger, no thirst, no pain. where all tears are wiped away, where there's no more sin. I think all of us have loved ones who've gone to that city, who are in that city now. And they don't wish to be back. How could you ever wish to be back? Why would you wish for a world in which there are daily tears, daily pain, daily sin, suffering, daily things that remind us of the curse and of misery? No. Like them, congregation, we must seek for the city that is to come. What does it mean to seek for the city that is to come? Well, to seek means you know you've lost it. If you've lost your wallet, or you've lost a child, God forbid, you're shopping somewhere and you lose a child, you seek till you find. We must seek for a city because we lost that city in paradise. We turned our backs on that city and on the God of that city and the glory of that city, the beauty of that city that God was and that God had prepared. We listened to Satan. Some of you are still listening to Satan, but we listened, all of us, to Satan then. Oh, how his siren calls, his beguiling, bewitching voice. Live for this world, at least for a while. Look, so much that glitters, so much that dazzles. You can have it. Just work. Just do this. Just give me your time. Give me your attention. Follow the playbook of the devil and get on in this world and climb. And you can have religion too. Just mix the world and mix religion. It doesn't matter. You can have a place in which you do your religious things, but live for this beguiling world. That's the temptation that besets every one of us. It's right there waiting for you as you leave these doors. You wake up this morning, it's right there. It's in your hearts right now. The city of man, the city of sin, the city of destruction. To seek the city that is to come means that we are preoccupied with one thing and one thing alone, and that is, how shall I escape this city of destruction in which I'm by nature so at home, in which I really don't even need Satan to hold me down, because I have too much here that holds me down. But when by God's grace there's a shaft of His glory that pierces your heart and makes you realize that you, a sinner, are bound to perish if you do not have the Prince of this city, Prince Emmanuel, the glorious Prince of this city, and you go seeking for Him, you go looking for Him, you go crying for Him, you plug your ears, as Christian did in the Pilgrim's Progress, to this world. And when the city of destruction, when your friends, when your family, when your own heart is saying, you know, just stay a little longer, you say, no, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. How can I live in a city with destruction written over it? In which the judgments of God are about to fall upon me and to be destroyed forevermore. And not just destruction, but to be forever, forever, forever outside. And that, while it can be so very different. You see, then a soul is set seeking something, someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, Abraham was obsessed. And I say that reverently. He was obsessed with the city to come. Oh, Abram had his faults. Abram disobeyed God. Abram went down to Egypt on one occasion. Abram leaned on the flesh. Life was hard. Waiting on God was hard. My dear believing friend, you know the exact same struggle. There is a law in my members that is at war with the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and of death. Oh, wretched man that I am, why do I constantly seek the city of man? Why do I take these sleeping aids, spiritually speaking, that just put me into dormancy, and I sleep as Christian did on a number of occasions, sleeping the sleep of death, unless the Lord interrupts it, which He does in the lives of His people. Well, congregation, this is what our life should be all about. That is to leave the city of destruction and to be seeking, to be obsessed with another city and with the prince of that city. By faith, Abraham went out. By faith, Abram sojourned. By faith, Abram died. It's by faith, my friends. It's not by doing. It's not by working. It's not by another set of rituals where I just do kind of the Christian things as opposed to the worldly things, and that sets me apart. No, by faith, my friend, faith of the operation of God. By faith, we believe that the things that are were made of things that do not appear. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith puts credit with what God says. Faith believes God's word simply because He speaks it. Faith believes what God says about ourselves, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. It reckons with that. Oh, it asks for more understanding of that. Lord, show me more of my heart. But please, Lord, show me more of Thy heart as well. Seeking a city. Congregation, what does this mean practically? This means practically, in the first instance, that we must live, all of us, believers and all who are here, we must live more loose from this world. They used to say, do not put your tent pegs too deeply into this world, not ready to go at any time. That's, of course, a picture of how it should be, right? We pitch our tent here, and if the Lord says, it's time to go. The earthly tabernacle of this life is taken down. We have a building far more beautiful, far greater in the heavens. And dear friends, there is much that goes into this. This is a daily battle. This is a strife also for you, dear people of God, who are at the table this morning. Welcome to the strife. Strive to enter in. Strive to walk by faith. Strive to live more loose from this world. And that means plugging our ears more and more to the siren calls of this world. When you sense that the world is clamoring for your attention and you give it to the world, oh, my friends, plug your ears. Turn it off. Cry to God. Open the Word. Meet with other people of God. There is a great sickness in our churches. And by that I mean not the liberal churches. They can see this for themselves. I'm speaking about the conservative reformed churches in which you find yourself. If our godly grandparents and great-grandparents saw us and our lives, do you think that they would recognize our lives as close to their own? I fear very often that they would look in on our lives and say, that is the kind of life I ran from. Oh, my friend, let's be honest about this. We may, till the coming of Christ, retain our sound doctrine. I hope we do. But my friends, what difference does that sound doctrine make if we're going to live from the table of this world and sacrifice at the altar of this world? Satan is very happy with that. Things must change. They must change now. And it's not just externals, though we should take a look at those things as well. But it's, where is your heart? What has your heart? Where does your heart go each and every day? Does it go after the stock market? Does it go after the political realm? Does it go after the latest and greatest gadgets? Does it go after the film industry or whatever it is? What has your heart? We have a problem. Until we recognize it and face it for what it is, we are not seeking the world that is to come. Secondly, congregation, we must live in this world as people who are bound for the next, each and every day. We ought to live in this world as people who are bound for the next, each and every day. You know, a couple, they have a sign in their kitchen. We have here no continuing city. And every time they sit down as a family, there it is. It's like a daily reminder. Like the Lord said, put it upon your doorposts so that you see it every day. Of course, I don't mean that you have to do that literally, but you understand what I'm saying, right? To have daily, moment by moment reminders. This world is not our home. We are heading to another world. Things are right even when you go on vacation. You live there as a vacationer. You know that the day is coming, and hopefully if it's right, you count those days down in a certain sense. You can enjoy a vacation, but to go home. But imagine you lived there as if this was it, and you forgot all about home, and you forgot about your life back at home. And isn't this what many of us are doing, or at least are tempted to do? To live as if this world is it. To drink in as much pleasure, as much of the good of this world as we can. We live as if the opinion of people around us The esteem of our so-called friends really counts. We curry their favor. Those are our people. We live for their esteem, as opposed to day by day setting our affections on things that are above, where Christ is. Live, my dear friend, as someone who is heading to another world. Thirdly, should we not love the things in this world that speak of another world? Should we not love the Word of God, which is as a voice coming from another world, piercing into the darkness and the confusion of this world? It speaks of another world. It's like oxygen that reaches us in the smokestack city of sin. Oh, to breathe in that air, the Word of God, the atmosphere, the breath of God, which is in His Word, inspired by Him, breathed out by Him. Shouldn't we love His day? Shouldn't we love His people? The people of God. Those who, like ourselves, are passing through. Or even if you don't know for yourself whether you're a child of God, to seek the company of people who do, to learn from them. Hereby we know that we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. Other children of God. Love the things that speak to us in this world from another world. And lastly, should we not call others around us to come and join with us as we seek another city? Family members, friends, random people we meet here and there. Don't you think it's time to head to another city? This world has death written over it. Oh, come with us and do as we are doing. We're heading towards a city that has foundations. Oh, our hearts should be moved with those who are living simply for this world. And yes, they're inside the church as well. You should seek their eternal welfare. Praying for them, speaking to them. Maybe not be as Lot speaking to his sons-in-law in the great day in which the judgment was coming, and he appeared to be as a madman speaking to them because he'd never spoken to them like this before. He'd never been earnest with them concerning their souls. And when the day came and he knew this is the last day of Sodom, he came to his sons-in-law, they mocked. What are you talking about? You've never talked like this. Oh, dear friends, let's talk earnestly to those who are unregenerate, those who are unconverted, those who, if eternity breaks in upon them unawares, will be outside forevermore. Will they not have reason to accuse us at some level? Because we've hidden the truth from them. We've acted like Lot, acted as if these things really don't matter. Don't rest until you're seeking the city that is to come. Or like Robert Bruce said to his children, whom he gathered around his deathbed, and he earnestly spoke to them and said, "Do not dare meet me in the last day in an unconverted state. Do not dare to meet me in the last day in an unconverted state." What a bold but true way to speak to one another. Well, congregation, this is what it means to live every day as if it is the last. And what a day that will be when you wake up in the morning and it is your last day, and you've been preparing every day for that day. My dear friend, whoever you are, if you've never prepared for that day, there is still time, but not much time. Less time now than ever before. And let us hear of that after we first sing Psalter number 52, all the stanzas. 52, all the stanzas. living each day as your last. Blessed life, and now a needed life. Dear congregation, if all you're doing now is living for the things of this world, you are the most miserable of people. Thomas Boston says, "This world is passing away. It was never meant to exist forever. It is like a stage that will be taken down after men have played their parts." Think of that. This world is already crumbling. Don't you hear the crumbling noises of our world? The creaking of our world under the weight of time. It will soon be over. It'll soon be done. And to live for this, Job said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return." From out of this world, oh my friend, why are you heaping up treasures where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal? Think of yourself on that great day when you must leave everything behind, when it's just you and your soul, your poor soul. That's it. You stand before the great white throne. You can't take anything else. No friend. No achievement. Nothing. Just your poor, sinful soul that you've neglected. Oh, your soul will accuse you, world without end. Why didn't you pay attention to your soul? Why did you make no provision for your soul? You took care of your body. You spent so much time in your body, and you just threw your soul away in the garbage heap of life. Oh, my friend, will you continue? Don't you hear the Lord? He's speaking to you. Someone's compared time to a narthex of a great building. You know what a narthex is? You came in through the narthex here. Now imagine that you just came into this building and you just dawdled around the narthex. You had no idea that this is what it was all about. And dear friends, that's what eternity is. Eternity is this auditorium that everything is marching towards, and time is like a little narthex, and you're just passing through. And oh, my friend, you're just here, just dilly-dallying away in the narthex of time, oblivious that one day you'll be pushed through the door into this auditorium, and then no going back. Friend, this city that you're living in, that you're building for yourself, it has death written over it. I can assure you of it. There are people in hell right now who, if they could, they would tell you this. The rich man in hell said, "Tell my brothers, go tell my brothers what awaits them." My friend, why? Why do you spend your money on that which satisfies not? You know, my dear friend, it's not just enough to wish for a city. You know, there are people in church as well. They say, "You know, when I hear messages like this and I do wish that I could be an inhabitant of that city." My friend, if that's you, Balaam wished he would die the death of the righteous. "Oh, to die the death of the righteous," he said. My friend, a wish won't do. He died the death of the unrighteous. And a wish, a dream, will not do it. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. I had a farmer tell me once that he had a lot of land and he had a lot of brush to get rid of. And so over months he had made this huge brush pile. And the day came, bright sunny day. All the brush was dried, combustible. He took some fuel and he poured it all over this brush pile. He made a little trailer or whatever you call that. And he threw a match on that, and there it went. And the whole brush pile soon was burning. It's gone. And there were in there birds. There were birds just flying every which way. But there were two raccoons. And he watched those raccoons from a distance. He didn't know, of course, that they were there, but two raccoons. One of the raccoons started to feel the heat, and he ran to the hills as far as he could, not looking back. The other raccoon kind of moved out and then up a bit, trying to find a safe place somewhere else, reluctant to leave this brush pile, this temporary home. And all of a sudden, the whole thing was up in smoke. And that second raccoon was consumed. Why? Why? Because it wouldn't run. It wouldn't flee the wrath to come. Oh, my friend, who will you be? Will you start running now? Running, running, running from this city that has death written over it. Running for safety. Haste for your life. Look not back, the scriptures say. Run, run, run till you're safe. Oh, my friends, the call comes to each and every one today. It matters not who you are. It matters not if you walked in this church for the first time and never heard a thing in your life. It matters not if you're 84 and you've heard this all your life long. My friend, whoever you are, if you haven't run for safety to take hold of Jesus Christ set forth in the gospel, run today. Run from out of yourself. Run. Ask the Lord to give you legs and run. And congregation, should we not take hold of one another and run for our life's sake? Seek the city that has foundations. Dear friends, run to Calvary. Run to there where there is salvation. Run to the one who said, I am the door. If any man enters in by me, he shall be saved. Where is that door, you say? It's right here in the gospel of sovereign grace. Christ is here in the preaching. Christ, right here, he is beseeching you. Be ye reconciled unto me. Oh, my friend, while he proffers peace and pardon, hear his voice today. Don't you hear the text? It's for you too, my unconverted friend. We have here no continuing city. Does that mean I'll go homeless through this world? No. You have a home, my dear friend. You have a home reserved in heaven for you, built without human hands. A home which you can't take away from yourself, and no one can. Reserved in heaven for those who believe, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, who all will be there shortly. Oh, my friend, will you be among that number? The story is told of an old couple who devoted their lives to missionary work in Africa. And at the end of their ministry, they returned home to the United States. This is about 100 years ago. They came by boat. And they happened to be traveling on a ship that President Roosevelt was on as well, returning from a hunting expedition in Africa. And they were on board with him. And when their ship arrived in the New York Harbor, there were dignitaries there to meet the president and a band who played to welcome him. And there was all sorts of festivities. And this old couple, they disembarked from this boat and no one knew them. No one greeted them. No one recognized them. And there they went their way quietly onward. They were from Kansas or somewhere like that. They still had a ways to go. As they were heading towards their home, one night staying in a hotel, the man, the missionary, discouraged, poured out his heart to God. He said, "Why, Lord? Why does no one know us? Why does no one recognize us? I've given my life to Thee and to Thy service." Then he heard, as it were, the voice of the Lord saying this in his conscience. The Lord said to him, "My good and faithful servant, the reason no one recognizes you, the reason no one welcomes you, you're not home yet. You're not home yet." And that comforted that man so much. He had forgotten that. He had lost sight of that in that moment. His home was still to come. People of God, this is not our home. Let us press on each and every day. Soon the day will come when the angels and the saints who are already there will welcome you, dear believer, all out of free grace. And your Lord and Master will be there. And it's all because of Him. And He'll say to you, "You're home." You're finally home. All of grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. My friend, we have here no continuing city. May we seek a city that's coming. It's coming, friends. It's coming very close. Amen. Gracious, good-doing Lord God, make us all seekers for this city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is the Lord. And extricate, Lord, we pray, those who are still building here below, those who are still at home here below, oh Lord, may they start running today by faith, in repentance, seeking this city. And oh Lord, comfort the hearts of those who know in their hearts that it won't be long. Oh Lord, fix their sights on heaven. And may we, in a way, be jealous, and grant, O Lord, that none would be left behind on that great day. O Lord, may we seek a quiet place. May we seek to be in earnest about our never-dying souls, and all by grace, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Shall we sing in conclusion 345? 345 and our doxology. 345. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.